Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
No reason to circle the wagons in their last playoff game. It's not like they were challenged. They might need to circle them this time around because the quality of competition ratchets up. We'll wait to see what we get out of Patrick Mahomes. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including at 9:10 a.m. Eastern. Dana White, UFC president. Conor McGregor is back. UFC 257 tomorrow night. ESPN pay-per-view, ESPN Plus. Key, let's just put it on the table here for the Chiefs, and then we'll get to the Jets, who have a quarterback conundrum, the likes of with the Chiefs, of course, don't have. The NFL season started on a Thursday night in Kansas City, starring Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs won that night. Championship weekend could come to an end with the Chiefs winning on a Sunday night at Arrowhead with Patrick Mahomes. Waiting to see on exactly the health at this particular point in the concussion protocol. But if you just watch the video, he's looking more spry every day.
Well, he looks the same as he did to me when he ran up the tunnel. I expect for him to play, as I expected for him to be at practice on Wednesday. I've been dazed and removed from games and catered to throughout the week, but played the game the week I was supposed to. And I think when you look at this situation, AFC Championship game, one game from the Super Bowl, he wouldn't be out there on the practice field skipping and hopping and jumping around and throwing the ball and getting underneath the center and taking all the reps if he wasn't going to play. If he wasn't feeling the way that Eric Bieniemy described, he is looking like Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not worried about the concussion anymore. I think moving forward, what's his agility? How will that toe injury affect him getting out of the pocket or scrambling? I think that's going to be interesting to watch, and how the Bills defensively, what is your scheme to, you know, we talked about this yesterday, the gap control, what are his tendencies, what side does he like to run to more than another, and how will he be pushing off that foot if you're forcing him to scat out of the pocket, Key? That's going to be interesting to watch.
You know, I don't know exactly the extent of the toe, like what is it? Did he get stepped on? Is it turf? I don't know, but as you know, Jay, the training staffs in pro sports is ridiculous.
It's incredible. I miss it every day.
Dude, I broke my finger. This finger right here. 2 days before the Super Bowl.
Left ring finger.
It pops out.
Okay.
Bone out.
Ugh.
I played in the Super Bowl. They fixed it. They got it right to play in it. They know what they're doing. So I'm not, you know. The medicine in the long time trainer there in Kansas City was with Andy Reid in Philadelphia, is one of the top dudes in the industry. So the only thing that I'm worried about is how many touchdowns he's going to throw. That's all I'm worried about.
The Jets have plenty to worry about, specifically if Sam Darnold is going to be their quarterback or if that guy in Houston might be their quarterback. Let's dig into this because there's some really interesting non-answer answers that we need to get to. Starting with the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, who was on the Michael Kay show yesterday here in our ESPN affiliate in New York. When Kay asked him about Deshaun Watson and Douglas realizing with regards to tampering rules, he's got to be very, 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 very careful when he answers this question.
I really can't get into the hypothetical situations and certainly can't speak on any player that's on a different team. You know, for us, we really need to focus on the task at hand, and that's getting together and going over our team with this new staff and, you know, making sure that we know our team like the back of our hand, and then we can approach free agent and draft evaluations. That's the next step.
I'd have tricked him into answering it. Hey, so Joe, if a player was available that you guys look at, how do you go about looking at players that's available that are really good that can upgrade your team? Like, he's not going to tell you anything about it because Deshaun is actually on a team right now. And again, tampering, all of those sort of things. Don't want draft picks, especially the Jets need every draft pick they can get. So the last thing you need is for the league to be like, yo, you need to give me that third round pick because you mentioned or you said or you alluded to something that could be taking place with a Deshaun Watson or anybody for that matter in the league. I'm confident, though, that Joe Douglas and Robert Sala will get things turned around to some degree where Jet fans can feel excited again about the New York Jets and in the direction that they're headed. And I know Jet fans have not felt excited about anything in a long time in the New York metropolitan area.
Well, I'm going to tell you how this continues to get juicy. So there's a line that says, ask the kids at school who ambition all the missions. And it's a thinking sign with two hands praying. And that is the copy on Deshaun Watson's IG page as he posts from New York City, Key, in New York City at multiple businesses that he's been able to invest in New York City. So being in Brooklyn, being around, I just love how the timing of all this happens, right?
It's right,
just
like, right now? Oh, those posts are most recent?
That came
very
14
recent.
Hours ago, my friend.
So he's in New York?
He's in New York City. He's in New York City, posting from New York City, being like, I am here. What's up? So all these things that are happening, it just makes it so much more intriguing to watch how what kind of messages Deshaun puts out. And you talk about sprinkling those crumbs, Key. We're watching all of those crumbs being sprinkled.
That up the ante for you or what?
Mm-hmm. No,
it's just the timing.
Sometimes you visit places that you may have a desire to be at because you may be looking at real estate in certain areas. You may just, I'm just saying, hey,
no,
man,
I get it,
I ain't getting people too hyped about
his marketing directors in Brooklyn.
Every now and then, you know, guys tend to take a look at the landscape. I need to see it before I make any decisions about anything. Not that the Jets are tampering. Not that he didn't drive by the facility yesterday and keep going just to, I'm just saying, I, you know, never did it myself, but just saying.
On the other side, Robert Saleh, the team's new head coach, was introduced. And then he was asked, and also, smartly, did not take the bait on what happens under center.
To be honest, like I said, there's so many conversations that have to be had with Joe and his staff, and there's so many different things that we have to do with regards to painting the picture and helping Joe and his staff find the best players in the world. And then there's obviously the evaluation of our guys and how they fit and how we can put them and place them in positions within our schemes to help them get better. So to answer that question would be severely premature.
Mm, I love it.
Well, I mean, what is he going to say, right? He's not going to say he's our quarterback, he's not a quarterback. He's going to say the party line. He's going to give you coach speak, not Dan Campbell speak. And so that's – and I think Robert Saleh, again, and Mike LaFleur, along with Joe Douglas and the pro personnel director and the college scouting director, they'll all get together – and go through tape and film and look at it and make a collective decision on what the best situation is for the organization going forward.
Key, it's easy to determine the best situation. The best situation is, hey, we don't need to say anything, and let's see if we can get Deshaun Watson. If we can go get Deshaun Watson, all this other stuff don't matter. If we can't get Deshaun Watson, then let's evaluate and let's go from there.
But they may feel like they got a top five quarterback that need Mike LaFleur to turn him into something special. So, you know, these conversations are kind of, they're not going to, it's not a snap decision. They're going to take their time and source through it and play with it a little bit. And then they may come back and say, you know what? Yeah, Sam just, it doesn't do it for us. We can't win with this guy. And then they pick up the phone and see where Deshaun is at. That, you know, they're not just going to say, Deshaun. Because you mess around and give up everything for Deshaun, and then you don't have nothing to put around Deshaun. So it's got to be a plan, right? You want to plan things out accordingly because they still need receivers. They still need some offensive line help. They still need some defensive players. The running back is my age. They need a running back. I mean, like, when you start to think about it, they're not running it back with Frank Gore. They got to go find some youth. And so it's like, where do we get this from? How do we do it? If we give everything up, then we're left with nothing but a bag full of money. And what if the free agents don't want to come? So it's a process, and you know that, Jay. I don't need to tell you. You're smart enough to know that.
We're on the same page.
Let me ask you one quick question for those that are listening to the name LaFleur and are thinking, yes, make the connection. He is the brother of Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, passing game coordinator of the 49ers, coming along with Saleh to be the OC of the Jets. Ultimately, I understand it's, you know, Douglas is the GM. The head coach is going to have a lot of sway. But take me inside as a guy who caught a ton of passes. Saleh is essentially...
I think I caught close to 900.
A lot of passes. Saleh is clearly saying to LaFleur, like, hey, I'm trusting you here at the quarterback position. What kind of input will he have? I think it's pretty obvious the impact that Joe Douglas and Salah are going to have on Darnold. But what about somebody like a first-year OC whose main job is to fix this guy?
Well, he's going to tell him about his drops, his steps. He's going to talk to him and get inside the head of Sam Darnold and see where he has been fractured by Adam Gase. You know, did he scare him into not wanting to play the position to try to fix that? But Robert Saleh, see, here's what people got to understand, too.
Okay.
Just because he's a defensive coordinator by trait doesn't mean that he doesn't know other positions of football. Do you know how many quarterbacks that he has to pay attention to throughout the course of a season?
Mm.
Meaning he has to watch a QB to know what defense to put in.
Right.
Say he looks at Patrick Mahomes, he goes, well, this guy's go right, look at his back foot, this tells us this, this tells us that. He has to be astute at everything. Right?
Makes great sense.
And so that is why Bill Belichick is such a great coach, because he has to be astute at everything, not just a quarterback guy. And so that conversation – bounces off everybody, not just responsibility for the quarterback coach.
All the great Bills, the former Bills, are coming out this week, and they all deserve a victory lap. And we're joined by one of them right now, Eric Moulds, a key contemporary, both great wide receivers in their day in the same era. And he joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. And Key, of course, before either of you could star in the NFL, you guys had to make your name in college. Could have been together, took some divergent paths. I'm going to give this to you for our television viewers on ESPN News. We're going to flash something up from the Jackson Clarion Ledger, the big newspaper in the state of Mississippi back in 1992. Key, help us understand what we're seeing.
Well, Eric Moulds and I were going to attend Mississippi State together.
Okay.
I decided to go from the West Coast. Very many people don't know this. And I signed with Jackie Sherrill in the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And Eric Moulds signed with them. And Walt Harris signed with them, the longtime corner of the Chicago Bears. So it was a great class. Then I got back on the plane back to Los Angeles. And I was thinking in my mind, yeah, that ain't really what I want to do. And the NC2A got involved. And from there, we could pass that up and sweep that under the rug, Emos. We don't want to have those conversations. What's happening, dog?
What's up, Key? What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Living back in New York City, and man, glad to hear your voice. I haven't seen you in so long, and just glad to see the Bills back in play. How the family and the kids doing?
Everybody's doing great, man. We're all healthy, so that's a blessing, and I'm just trying to enjoy life, you know, taking day by day like everybody else.
You think if we'd have played together at Mississippi State, we could have shared the ball, or we would have been like more like A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf trying to figure out who was going to throw us the ball?
Oh, it would have been over, man. It would have been crazy, man, because, you know, we were already good friends. So it was one of those things that I wanted to see how good we could actually be. I mean, you got really two first-round draft picks on your team. So – That's for the coaches to figure out. If they couldn't figure that out, then they're not good coaches.
Yeah, no, that's true. So, Stephon Diggs, speaking of wide receivers, you set the record for the most receptions and most yards in a single season in Bills history. And Stephon Diggs has come a long ways and kind of rewrote those record books. What do you see in him in Buffalo, and what type of receiver do you think he truly is?
Well, I see Stephon Diggs as a guy that is a fiery receiver. He's actually is a lot quicker than he looks on TV. So he's more of in the mold of a little bit of a Marvin Harrison type guy. He's not very big, but he's big enough. He can play the slot. He can play outside. Usually, when you saw Stephon in Minnesota, he was just a deep threat. Now you see him pretty much running the whole route tree, and I think that he's really elevated Josh Allen's game. And so I think he's one of the top two receivers in the league right now. You know, it changes from year to year, Key. So one year it's one receiver, then it's the other receiver. But right now he's the top receiver in the league this year. So next year he has to prove it again.
Buffalo Bills great Eric Moulds, three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. You didn't have a quarterback like this on a consistent basis in Josh Allen. You got Jim Kelly at the end. What have you seen from Josh Allen over this last season that make you think that he can go into Kansas City and pull one off?
Well, you know, last year I saw Josh. He was inaccurate. He wasn't a quarterback that can throw accurately. But as the season has gone on, he's played this year, he's been playing great. I think besides Aaron Rodgers, he's probably the second best quarterback playing in this thing right now, consistently playing well. He just went back to work and he's starting to throw the ball and he's hitting receivers accurately and Stephon is getting a lot of catches, but he does spread the ball around. You know, Beasley gets a lot of catches and makes plays for him. So the first game against Kansas City, I saw him struggle a little bit. I think he only had 122 yards passing, and it was probably Stephon's worst game too. So hopefully this game they can do a lot better than that. You know, obviously Kansas City's running game killed us last year, and you're not going to hold Mahomes and Kelce and all those guys down like they did last time. So we got to be on our game defensively.
Eric Moulds is joining us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. The Bills, great. We're looking forward to championship weekend. So, Eric, every coach, when he gets hired, stands up there and says this. You know, it's an honor to be here. We've got the best fans in the NFL, right? All 32 have to say that at some point. But before even Bills Mafia and all these viral videos that you see, this fan base has had so much heartbreak, has stuck with the franchise through thick and thin. As a guy that used to play in front of them at Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, whatever you want to call it, can you help the rest of the country understand? Some people think they have long-suffering fan bases. What the Bills fans mean to you as a former player, the franchise, and upstate Western New York?
Oh, they're everything. I mean, if you play for Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo gets a knock that, you know, Keith can tell you this. People say, man, I don't want to go play in Buffalo. I don't want to go play in Green Bay because of the weather. But when the players get there, they're like, hey, man, wait a minute. Buffalo is actually a great place to play. And the fans are unbelievable, man. It's one of those things that I can remember we were 4-12 one year. And it was packed. The stadium was packed every game like we were 15-1. So it's going to be like that with the Bills fans. And I know it's driving them crazy that they can't see their team play this well. The way they're playing right now. So, but you know, you can see the fans jumping through tables. You see former players jumping through tables. It's just one of those things. It's like a college atmosphere, but it has a pro football team, and it means more to these fans than a lot of other fans in the National Football League because they breathe and die with this team every day. You know, they have a saying in Buffalo. They don't say goodbye. They just say go Bills.
Andy Reid said that Sean McDermott, E. Moles, deserves to be Coach of the Year. How important has not only has he been to the organization, but general manager Brandon Bean?
Oh, he's the biggest key to this thing besides McDermott. McDermott has come in. He has Buffalo's attitude. He fits right in well with Buffalo. He wears jeans, the boots, and he has that Buffalo mentality. Now, Brandon Bean has come in, and he's a smart general manager. He does everything the right way. And he's just put these pieces together year by year. And I've just watched his team grow and watched his general manager become one of the better general managers in this league. I think he's an executive of the year. He's without a doubt changed the mindset of this team. Mm-hmm.
It is such a pleasure to have you here, Eric. I know there's so many Bills fans. We had Bruce Smith on yesterday, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Jim Kelly's been on a couple times. It's really amazing to see all you guys get honored because think about it, you know, for a whole generation of fans, if like you're a high school senior or a college freshman, you don't remember the Buffalo Bills for what they were. So it's a great moment to see the next generation of fans get to relive these moments about what the Bills used to be and apparently what they're going to be moving ahead. Eric, great to catch up this morning, and thank you for joining us.
Don't stay away too long, Emos.
Hey, Keith, man, I appreciate it, man. Tell them the 96 class is the best receiver class ever.
I don't have to tell them that. They already know. I don't need to fight it. They know.
Good to hear from you, brother.
All right.
Hey, last thing. Jay, I know we didn't hear from you in the interview.
But
I wanted to ask you this because he just talked about the way that the Bills fans have just surrounded the team. They wrapped their arms around them. And in your sport, I mean, nobody is more closely connected to the players and the fans and the coach than Duke fans, right? I mean, you see it 40 minutes bopping up and down back in the old days when fans were at games. He talked about his love affair with Bills fans. I just wonder, when you hear that, do you kind of have an emotional connection considering the way Duke and its fans have always been inextricably linked here?
Yeah, not even that. I mean, also in my pro career, even though it was short, I still have a major love for Chicago Bulls fans. I mean, look, when you go through the down years that organization has gone through and they're still trying to climb their way back up from the Michael Jordan era, still to see the United Center packed out for games and to see the way the fans cheered, You could tell, like, that city, they love their sports more than anything, and they are extremely loyal, which only wants you to run through the wall and play as hard as possible for them all the time. So I get exactly what he was saying.
Worst place to play for me. I didn't enjoy playing in Buffalo at all. I just – it with fans – because the fans was just so – they're on top of you, number one, because right. of the way the stadium is built. Uh-huh. So they literally are within touching distance. And so one year we went up there, and Brian Cox, my teammate at the Jets at the time, I'm standing next to – B. Cox, the fans are so passionate up there. They was just getting, you know, they get under your skin because sure. they're fighting. This is what they believe in.
The division. You
know, they're throwing frozen batteries.
Frozen batteries?
Damn. That
sounds like the black hole in Oakland. Frozen batteries.
Boom! I'm like, man, what are they like, man, don't stand next to B. Cox. You remember the famous Brian Cox, when he took off the helmet and stood there yes. on the field goal when he was with the Dolphins and gave him the bird? You yes. remember that? That is yes. so, it's just like he got under their skin and I'm standing next to him. They threw a battery. It hit me on my helmet. They're like, man, you better keep that helmet on.
Wow. Brian Cox, quite the emotional player.
Oh, that was my guy. B. Cox was my guy. We had a wreck shop, though, Jay. Me and E. Moles at Mississippi State, we'd have ran through the SEC.
Yeah, you would have.
How about that? It almost happened. It almost happened.
There's four letters.
One more zero added to that number.
Well, be quiet. Not so fast. If four-letter word didn't get there, maybe I stay.
Four-letter words with three letters, yes. NCAA. Just a reminder, I mentioned all the great bills are showing out this week. And
I thought you were talking about cash.
Oh, jeez.
Buffalo
bills instead of dollar bills, right? Greeny this morning, 10:15 a.m. Eastern, the legendary special teamer, Steve Tasker, is going to be on the program again this morning as all the great bills taking a victory lap. And the new head coach of the Jets, for the biggest Jet fan at ESPN, Mike Greenberg. He'll talk to Robert Saleh. Barton Scott. Excuse me.
Okay, Barton Scott. Nice cartoon.
Bills and the Chiefs combined, 12 a.m. to 2 p.m. What's going on today?
Hey, man, that wasn't me. I didn't say – I read exactly what was put in front of me. I am programmed to do that. I'm just saying.
Just following orders.
I'm just following orders.
I almost wish I could do the same, but I don't have the excuse here. Barton Hahn will talk to Robert Saleh, of course.
Barton Star. What a great cartoon.
Of course, Bart was a former Jet, so we'll get his perspective. Saleh, as you said, defensive guy. Bart, a defensive guy with the Jets, so we'll see. He'll be on with Barton Hahn at 1 p.m. Eastern today. And again, just to circle back, Greeny with the legendary special teamer Steve Tasker this morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern. On the way, a couple weeks ago, a 25-year-old stud busting out at his position fell short against a 43-year-old legend. So what did this player see and learn? Well, and what makes Tom Brady so great with perhaps another Super Bowl in the offing?
Well, one thing Coach Rivera has been preaching to us, just control our own destiny, take care of us. That'll give us the best chance to be successful.
Allen in the gun, play action, steps back, now throwing deep down the left sideline. That's Terry McLaurin, wide open, pitch, catch, touchdown, Washington!
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
AD turns, leans, bounce pass to LeBron with two to shoot. Three-pointer by LeBron. It's good! And the Lakers bomb away in Milwaukee, and that three-pointer should do it. Lakers 111, Bucks 103, inside of a minute to go.
Could be a possible NBA Finals preview. That's what we thought we might get in the bubble. Maybe we get it this year. Lakers strike early. They win their eighth straight road game. They're 8-0 on the road this season. Best road start to a season in franchise history. That says something because the Lakers, as you know, have quite the history. LeBron at a season high 34. And if you think there wasn't a measure of revenge, remember Giannis edged him for the MVP. LeBron said no big deal, but you know it was different. 113-106 over the Bucks. Patrick Mahomes, back-to-back days on the field, still in the concussion protocol. Listed as a limited participant, but as long as you're in the protocol, they call you limited. Can't bust out of that definition. But if you're watching this morning on ESPN News or you've seen the video on SportsCenter on your phone, he looks pretty good out there, jogging, ready to go. Andy Reid has been bullish from the very start. We'll see what happens Sunday night for a trip to the Super Bowl. And speaking of the Super Bowl, the NFL announcing that Tampa, the site of the game, will host 22,000 fans, 7,500 of which will be vaccinated healthcare workers, giving an opportunity to those that are giving us the opportunity to live and feel safe. Congratulations to those 7,500, and congratulations to Nick Sirianni, who is now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the Colts offensive coordinator. They had three starting QBs the last three seasons, but as Key has said, connect the dots on this one. It's pretty easy. Sirianni served under Frank Reich, the Colts head coach. Reich was the OC of the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, largely due to the great play of Carson Wentz during the regular season. I think we know they need to figure it out with Wentz. And SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
Well, one thing Coach Rivera has been preaching to us, just control our own destiny, take care of us. That'll give us the best chance to be successful.
Allen in the gun, play action, steps back, now throwing deep down the left sideline. That's Terry McLaurin, wide open, pitch, catch, touchdown, Washington!
That's Bram Weinstein describing the Washington football team. Somebody had to win the NFC East. They did it. They gave the Pats, they gave the Bucks a good run for their money in the wild card round because that other old Pats quarterback was terrific. That call on ESPN 630, the sports capital. So Brady is 43. Let's welcome in the 25-year-old stud who you just heard there. Had an incredible breakout season. I want to talk about all the organizational culture changes with Ron Rivera. We've got a female coach now that you guys have brought up the line in an unprecedented manner. Great things happening with the Washington football team. But Terry McLaurin, good morning. Welcome inside. Congrats on a great season. I want to go brass tacks, though, for you. You're 25. You're looking to make your name. When you look across at old 43-year-old Tom Brady, I know he got the best of you this time, and Chase as well. We know that story. What did you see from him as you're standing there on the sideline just watching this guy as you try to ascend in your career?
Well, first of all, good morning, guys. Appreciate y'all for having me this morning. And, you know, it was cool to compete against one of the best players of all time. When you looked across the field, this is my second year playing against Tom, so it wasn't as enamoring as it was the first time, but to see him in the playoff atmosphere was kind of cool. You know, you kind of had to compartmentalize it because you had to, you know, try to win the football game, but you could tell he was the leader of that team. You could tell he had been there before, which in turn, a lot of those guys who may not have been playing the playoffs, they had that experience because of who Tom Brady is and what he brought to the table. He kind of brought like a calm and a sense of consistency to their offense. Even though when they had negative plays, they seemed to get back on track. And, you know, you can't put a price on that type of experience and all that he's seen and done just in the playoffs alone. So You know, we wish we would have came out with the win, but you see why he's had so much success over these years because of these playoff games that he's played in.
T-Mac, man, you took another step this year. I'm not going to call it a breakout year because you've yet to break out. That's coming, and that's coming in a big way. You took another step. What allowed you to take that huge leap this year, knowing that you kind of went through a quarterback carousel?
Well, I appreciate that. I think it was just my mindset going into it. You know, when I came in this year, I knew I wasn't going to be a guy who was going to surprise any defense. I knew they were going to know where 17 was on the field. And I knew I was going to get more role coverage, seeing the top DBs of each team. And I just wanted to execute at a high level. Although I had a multitude of quarterbacks this year and last year, my mindset was always the same. It was to produce. It was to help our team try to win football games. It didn't matter who was taking the snaps. That's not something I control. How I control is the way I prepare each and every day during the course of game week, how I performed on Sunday, how good of a leader I've tried to grow into as a young guy, and just make a name for myself, not just amongst my teammates and my coaches, but around this league. And I feel like you do that with consistency. You do that with, high character and the way you go about your business when you play on Sundays.
You got a nice nucleus of young receivers in Washington. You'll get Kelvin Harmon back, the draft pick out of North Carolina State, who went down with an ACL injury. When you add him back to the mix along with yourself and everybody else, how strong can you guys be next year with that particular group?
I think we have a young nucleus of guys, like you said, still hungry to make a name for themselves in the league. Getting Kelvin back will be good for our receiving core. His consistency in the way he catches the ball, he really knows what he's doing. And, he knows how to make plays at this level. He did it as a rookie, although in sparing times. But, you know, you could see the flashes in his game. And, I'm really excited to have him back, a guy that I was drafted with. And, we're pretty good friends. So I'm really excited to see how he comes back off this injury. I feel like we still have a young group of guys that need to continue to get better and take that next step, myself included, being the lead guy in the room. I just want to continue to try to empower the guys around me because I know it's not just about me. And I do need guys who are also going to make plays on the outside that help open it up for all of us. And, I've never been a guy where I have to get all the touches, I have to get all the passes. But at the same time, I know what being a number one wide receiver means in this league and the consistency you have to have. So, I'm just trying to take this time to first get my body right, but get right back to it in the coming weeks to try to get better for this upcoming season, because I feel like we took a step forward coming off of the three win season that we had previously to a playoff spot. So, I think that receivers are going to be a big part of how our offense moves going forward.
Terry, let's talk about coming off injury. I mean, what we saw Alex Smith do this year continues to blow my mind. I mean, there's no doubt, comeback player of the year. How was that for you guys, having him kind of be one of the leaders, taking you guys to the playoffs? What was your rapport like with him?
Yeah, Alex was a guy who you kind of knew that he's seen it all. He's been in this league for so long. He's played with multiple different franchises. And he's had success. And one thing you knew about Alex was he's going to put you in a good situation to win games. Is he going to wow you with 50-yard passes and 400-yard passing games? Not necessarily. But at the end of the game, you're going to look up at the scoreboard and you're going to know you're going to be in the game. And that's just who Alex is, the guy who came off of probably one of the most traumatic injuries football players ever had. And not only was his career in jeopardy, but his life was in jeopardy. But it's kind of crazy for all the things that he was going through. You never know it being around him in the building, the way he carried himself, the way he tried to be a leader and empower our team. And, I just say hats off to that guy because, it took a lot of courage. It took a lot of strength and just a mentality that few people I feel like in this world have to come back off of such a catastrophic injury. And to have the success that he did to put us in a situation to where we were competing for a playoff spot. So it was really cool to see his comeback story. Who knows what's in the future for him.
He did have a successful year. Another quarterback on your team that had some issues was Dwayne Haskins. Why didn't it work in Washington?
Well, you know, I'm close with Dwayne, and you know, it was a tough situation for both sides. At the end of the day, you know, I know he would say that you know, he didn't hold up to that standard of being a quarterback in the NFL. And you know, he's a young guy. We're not going to make excuses for that. But Coach Rivera decided to go in a different direction, and you know, for me personally, it was just something that I tried to compartmentalize because we were still in the middle of a playoff push, and you know, that's a friend of mine, a former teammate. So you want the best for him, but at the end of the day, you know, it's about the team, and it was unfortunate to see how things unfolded, especially with him and I coming in together. But you know, I saw yesterday where he got another opportunity to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I feel like could possibly be a great fit for him, you know, as long as he just continues to focus and learn from these mistakes and grow. But, you know, I don't want everybody to be so quick on the judgment necessarily because, you know, there's situations where everybody makes mistakes and they deserve an opportunity to come back from them. Now, that's not, you know, putting down what he did or what he didn't do, because there is a standard. He's held to a different life than other positions, being in the profession that we're in. By the end of the day, I'm really interested to see how he's grown from this situation and see his comeback, hopefully, in Pittsburgh.
Well astute, young man.
Well said, brother. Yeah, exactly. 1,000% correct, man.
It's a pleasure to have you here on the program. I know, obviously, you and Dwayne have the Buckeye connection as well, and I'm sure you, me, and millions of football fans will be getting set to see what happens this weekend. Appreciate you joining us, Terry. Great perspective.
Go Buckeyes, baby.
Hey, man, that's my ear.
Always, always. Appreciate y'all for having me.
All right, T.
All good. You know what time it is, Key. Come on, man.
One thing I want
to do. Went to Duke. Stop.
I'm a Buckeye fan football-wise, man. My parents graduated from there. Come on, man.
You can't be a fan of a football team of a school that you didn't go to when you have team at the school you went to. Fraud.
What?
Fraud.
What? No, well, no,
we'll get
not
Cutcliffe.
Fraud.
We'll get Cutcliffe on the Goodyear hotline to clear that up in case Jay wants to make good there.
Jay never went to a Duke football game a day in his life.
I went to a lot of tailgates, so, and then when the game started, we kind of
sad.
But yeah, what?
Great school spirit. Let's go to, where are we going?
Yes, last thing, I just wanted to quickly mention, everybody's talked about the culture change of Ron Rivera, everything he's done, his personal battle, winning the division, everything that's gone on in the front office and at the ownership level. Yesterday, they did something under the radar that probably deserves more attention than it's getting, so let's give it to it in 1 minute. The Washington football team made Jennifer King another step forward in NFL history. She spent this past season as a full-time intern with the running backs. She is now going to be a offensive assistant with the running backs under the running backs coach, Randy Jordan. So making some moves and making a little bit more history. Congratulations to her. Just wanted to mention that as the NFL continues to widen its scope with diversity and inclusion. On the way, it's NFL championship weekend. We normally go four downs, but with these offensive explosion teams, we only need two downs. It's all right. We're always moving the sticks. Hey. We only got two games, a preview of both games, and the fellas make their picks next.
Aaron Rodgers has blown through everybody on his way to this NFC championship. Coming off what Tampa was able to do to Drew Brees, this one is going to be super interesting. Next.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
All right, let's begin, I guess, with the NFC Championship game. Here we go.
Buccaneers at Packers.
Buccaneers at Packers. Well, Bruce Arians was telling a little white lie there. It is cold in Green Bay. That's for sure. And the players will be, or better yet, will take notice. I think when you look at this football game, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers in this one. He's just dynamic right now. He's going to win the MVP. Devontae Adams is putting up big-time numbers. This is the first time the Green Bay Packers have had an opportunity under Aaron Rodgers to host the NFC Championship game.
That's crazy.
I don't see any other way to look at it other than Green Bay, Aaron Jones, Kenny Clark, Rasheem Gary, and that cast of characters putting it to the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Zubin, is the line still -3, Green Bay?
I'll look it up for you as
we
speak.
If it is, I said it all week. I'm taking it. I think the one key for Green Bay early is they can't get down. When they got down that first matchup, all of a sudden it took away from their running game, and Aaron Jones, he only had 15 yards on 10 carries. He's a critical piece of their offense. I think if they stay in the game from the beginning, I actually think they move forward.
We're looking at 3.5, Packers by 3.5. Our gambling expert, by the way, Joe Fortenbaugh, you know how big of a gambling weekend, conference championship weekend is. He'll join us at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Pack 3.5. After Tom Brady, as crazy as this sounds, after Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers serve as the appetizer, then we'll get to this game.
Bills at Chiefs.
This game's going to be interesting. The last time that the Chiefs played the Buffalo Bills, they held Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs in check. I kind of see the same thing happening again with Steve Spagnuolo, mixing up coverages on Josh Allen, a little bit of confusion, giving him pre-snap reads, showing him something different, post-snap read. And then on the offensive side of the ball, too many big-time weapons. Patrick Mahomes is probably going to play. Travis Kelce will play. Sammy Watkins is coming back, could play. When you start to think about it, Tyreek Hill. It's just too much going on. And Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator calling the plays, getting a little bit of input from Andy Reid. But again, I'll say it again, Eric Bieniemy is calling the plays. Kansas City Chiefs.
It's easy to pick Kansas City. I'm going outside the box, Key. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. Leslie Frazier, their DC, and that defense showed me something in that game against the Ravens. Granted, the Ravens and the Chiefs play drastically different styles of offense, but I'm a believer in the Bills' defense. And I'm also a believer in the fact, yes, I can fly. Woo! I also believe in Diggs and the fact that he can do it against Kansas City's defense, which is probably the worst defense out of the teams left here. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen getting to the Super Bowl and really stopping this dynasty that we're going to see from the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, Jay, they did hold him down last time they played against him, though. Right?
I know they did.
Put
I
him
know
in
they
check.
Did.
So
I know
you got to find 32 on the other side. Josh Allen has to find the honey badger and make sure Tyrann Mathews is not causing problems, because he can line up anywhere and wreak havoc.
I know that the Bucs held down Green Bay, but we both picked Green Bay. So, you know, things can be flip-flopped here.
You're right. That was a 38-10 win for the Bucs. The Bucs are actually down 10-0. Packers were rolling. Aaron Rodgers threw back-to-back interceptions, and then the game's complexion completely changed. But as Jay and Key mentioned, these are both rematches, both actually from Week 6 during the regular season. The Bucs got the better of the Packers. The Chiefs got the better of the Bills. The one thing that's interesting, as Jay sort of mentions how exactly they were able to bottle up, or Key, I think you did, bottle up Josh Allen. What's interesting for the Chiefs, if Mahomes isn't 100% or is something less than his superhuman strength, what's interesting is the Week 6 game, if you'll recall, was won by Kansas City putting the ball on the ground, actually had more yards rushing than Mahomes did passing. So if in any way Mahomes is compromised this weekend, they know they can put the ball in the running game and win, because that's how they won the first game.
Yeah, that is. And we're going to break it all down on NFL Primetime. Chris Berman and myself at 10 Eastern Time Sunday on ESPN. Just a little plug there for those that want to sit up and watch us give our take.
Love it. So once again, game is over on CBS. Immediately flip over Boomer and Key breaking it down. We'll know who will be playing in Super Bowl 55, which we just found out today is going to have about 22,000 fans, including 7,500 for the first responders down there in South Florida, who have been doing such a great job, and across the country, of course, in keeping us all safe. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive
Key
Insurance.
Is that 10 a.m.
oh,
or 10 p.m.?
At 10 p.m. because I wrote it myself, Eastern time. I didn't rely on Pat or Evan to tell me that Barton Hine was at 12 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're
I thought wrong. It was Barton it's Scott. Barton what
Scott,
happened?
Actually. Barton Scott,
Pat,
yeah.
Not Evan. Pat, not Evan.
So we'll see what happens. Pat. Again, championship weekend. I want to mention on the way that we've got Dana White. If you're a UFC fan, this is one of the biggest weekends in the UFC in the last handful of years because of the return of Conor McGregor. UFC president Dana White was going to join us at 9:10 a.m. Eastern. And then, as I mentioned, Jay's favorite guest, Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN's Daily Wager. Gigantic wagering weekend on both the AFC and NFC championship games. And we'll get to that with Joe at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. On the way, as crazy as it sounds, one more Super Bowl. Is Andy Reid a top five coach in the history of the National Football League? Discuss next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.